HBO Original Programming. HBO Documentary Films. A home movie of the Hawaiian countryside and coastline, a young Debbie Reynolds pushes two children in a small pram and poses with them for the camera.
Hello. We're here with a woman who alleges to be my mother. I don't buy it for a minute, but this is how we'll find out.
I have proof.
You have films.
I have films and I have a certificate.
You're the films that I'm happy.
Oh, yes, well, because you doubted it for so long.
You knew that I was going to doubt it later, so you filmed me being happy.
No, I thought that if you filmed children and you had happy children, then and you filmed
that exposure.
Who knew when you were going to grow up and say, I'm very unhappy, and that's a fake film.
This is getting so ugly so fast.
You have to try to concentrate on the fact that you did have sometimes good times.
I know that I did. I had a very good time.
See how you yelled at your mother?
What about Todd?
In
Do
the
you
book,
like
but
Todd
I didn't know
better
was...
than me?
No, it's just that you're different. Every child is different.
So I don't buy this.
You never bought anything that I
okay.
said so far.
What does he get in the will and what do I get?
Oh, I'm not going to tell anybody that.
As a teen, Carrie Fisher rides with her brother on his motorbike.
If we lived together, we would argue.
Yes. It's possible.
A young Debbie Reynolds raises her glass of wine to the camera. A reel of film runs through a projector. Black and white footage of Debbie Reynolds. She places her hands in concrete on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and smiles to the camera. She bursts out of a birthday cake, a picture of her in an elegant pose. She dances on stage. Sat behind a camera, Debbie holds her young daughter in her arms. Carrie Fisher on set as a child. Footage of Carrie's film career, including the world-renowned role of Princess Leia. Photographs and home movie footage of her brother Todd Fisher. No more doubt, I found my way. HBO Documentary Films presents a Bloomfish Pictures film, a movie poster for Bundle of Joy, starring Eddie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. Black and white news photos of their wedding. Photos of Debbie and Eddie with their two children. Eddie steps out with Elizabeth Taylor. A newspaper headline, Eddie, Debbie split, Liz tells own story. A camera flash goes off. Carrie marries Paul Simon. A headline reads Carrie Fisher out of rehab. A mock movie billing, Carrie Fisher wishful drinking. Photos of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds over the years. An old-fashioned movie title, Bright Lights. Fisher's in the kitchen of her home in Los Angeles, California.
How long has it been done for? I'm done for. Ugh! Fucking criminy. I'm gonna go help my mother pack. My mother is performing a show in Connecticut. I tried to stop her, but that is like throwing yourself in front of a... what are those called? Not tiramisus. Tsunami. See, she's Tsumami. And I threw myself in front of Tsumami and it didn't work. She loves doing it when she's doing it, but afterwards she was laying on the floor, so. But in a good, dignified movie star way. Mother and I live next door to each other, separated by one daunting hill. I usually come to her. I always come to her. Money, mommy, I'm home.
Hello.
Where, look, you cannot keep that phone. It's ridiculous. That's from the early 90s when they first invented cell phones.
But
I
don't want to buy a new one. The old phone works fine. Just dandy.
It's horrible.
Oh, there she is.
Look at all the
puffs. Do you know how to do it? Do you know how to do it?
No one knows how to use those anymore.
That is a beautiful puff. Thank you for the beautiful souffle. I love it.
Is it good?
Delicioso. You want to sing with me?
Debbie, what do you wear in the show?
A very heavy beaded dress.
It is quite beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it weighs more than she does.
It does weigh about 50 pounds, but it's so beautiful.
Worth it.
No, that's Elizabeth's.
This belonged to...
I bought that at Elizabeth Taylor's auction. I wanted...
This is one during her muumuu phase.
Yeah, well, it's pretty, really. But...
It has a drag queen element.
Do what your mother says. It makes life easier.
As if.
Yeah.
All right.
You remember me. I'm your mother.
I remember.
Tammy,
You very close, so I'm a constant reminder. Is this for the show?
I forgot I had it.
That's what's good about losing your memory is there's so many surprises in the world.
I have found some things work. Not enough.
There's never enough Listerine.
I'm just going to go fill it.
Remember, we had a relative that drank Listerine.
She was an alcoholic.
And 18 bottles of vanilla. Okay.
That's it. That's all.
Okay, look.
Turn around this way because your rear end is to the camera.
Oh, my God. I don't like not knowing what's happening. I worry a little.
Well,
I worry
sweet.
What the show costs you. That's all. I know you like to do it.
I have caught up with a few people in age. Whoa.
But they're in bed and you're doing a show.
I mean, like George Burns says, I'm going to stay on stage until I drop dead. And then I'm going to have myself stuffed like Trigger. And then I'll put me in a museum.
That's nice.
Well, like
or we could just leave this house. I totally understand why she's doing it, and it makes me nervous. She'll forget. She's not 35. You know, it doesn't make sense to her that her body isn't cooperating. And she just thinks if she ignores it, it'll go away. Everything in me demands that my mother be as she always was. Even if that way is irritating. She just can't change. That's the rule. And she's fucking with me. Age is, it's horrible for all of us, but she falls from a greater height.
Singing in the Rain.
Good morning.
Good morning. We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
A montage of a youthful Debbie dancing in various films.
Good morning, good morning to you.
On film, a handsome man kisses her in a passionate embrace. She rides a moped dressed as a nun. Wearing an off-the-shoulder dress, she checks out her reflection. In character, Debbie runs away from a bull. She jumps out of a barn into a haystack. In another film, she's helped into a dress before showing it off to her waiting guests, singing in the rain.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning.
The stage is being set in Mohegan Sun Resort, Connecticut.
So Debbie's mic goes to the ears, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. All this stuff is like lost.
Sound levels are being checked. Backstage in Debbie's dressing room.
And I think I only got nervous once when I performed for the Queen of England. I went over with Bob Hope to do a show. And I did get a little nervous there. The crown, the jewels kind of threw me a little bit. But as a rule, I don't get nervous. I just have a good time. I've been doing this a lot my whole life. You know, I started performing when I was 16.
Well, you know your set already and everything?
Oh, yeah, some all set. I carry my script in my beat-up folder. You can see how beat-up. And all the edges are all worn out. And if you can make people smile a little, laugh a little, just enjoy themselves for a moment. It's not Macbeth, you know.
How are you tonight? You're such a nice, attractive audience tonight. You don't mind if I come out, do you? See, I like to visit with you, otherwise I'm stuck up there. I've seen my act. Good evening.
I used to go out in the audience. I used to do that. I used to... wear a girdle, too, and I don't do that anymore. So it's like the old days in a way, but I'm like the old days, so. Can you do me a favor while you're down there?
Yeah.
You see that toe?
Uh-huh.
That has to come around. That, see that? It has to go
underneath.
To the, yeah.
Thank you.
I'll pull it over.
I have to do it. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Kevin is going to do like an introductory thing.
5 minutes, yeah?
Yeah. So when do you want him to start?
When? But David's already asked me this.
Oh, he did?
Uh-huh.
You didn't tell him, though.
Now.
Now. Go.
Wearing a glittering golden floor-length dress with a slit up one side, Debbie totters onto the stage. She smiles and waves at her audience.
I look around, I see all you nice men. You're very sweet. I'm sure you're nice. It's just that there's a nice guy around. I'm not going to find him. You remember Eddie Fisher? Carrie told me, Mommy, doesn't it start to look like Eddie's the good one? After Eddie, I married again. He was very rich, too. That was helpful. I thought that was very nice. But then I found out after we were married, he was a gambleholic, and he lost all of his money. I should have married Burt Reynolds. I wouldn't have to change my last name. And we could share wigs. So I thought I'll bring along some of my first movies. We had a lot of fun in those days.
Hippie to the monk, the monkey to the chimp. All night long they chatter away, all day long they're happy and gay, swinging and singing in a honky-tonky way.
Now this is my one little hit. It's called Tammy. Here we go. I hear the cut. Start over again. Maybe something will come out. I hear the cottonwoods whispering above. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. Tammy's in love.
Smiling, Debbie blows kisses to the aging crowd who get to their feet to give her a standing ovation. Accompanied by one of her team, Debbie watches the applause from the side of the stage. She waves to the crowd.
People were loving it. That was so awesome. Okay, we're going this way, though. Okay.
Unsteady on her shoeless feet, Debbie's helped down the stairs to the backstage area where people are waiting for her.
Got it. Okay. And one more. Ah. Okay. Boom.
It is very frustrating for her because inside my mom is the same person.
Thank you.
And she doesn't want to retire. She does not want to retire.
She performs in a black and white movie.
Why do I feel like a feather? Why do I sing in a crowd? Why, when it's clear, lovely weather? Why is my head in a cloud? It's that
performing gives her life. It feeds her in a way that family cannot. That's why I think we've always been frustrating. Because it's not... People aren't cooperative. Audiences are. When you're her, they are.
Where are you? Woo-hoo. Where are you, dear? Come here, come on. Come on, Junie, don't you want to see the kid? Come on, sing it for your old mother. Besides, I have to retire soon.
I had been singing in my mother's act since I was about 13.
Would you sing my favorite for me? It's for Junie and Jerry. Don't say no. Just sing right up.
My mother wanted to be able to groom me for show business.
A teenage Carrie smiles and sings.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all.
The biggest thing I did that broke my mother's heart was not do a nightclub act.
When times get rough,
my mother would say, Do drugs, do whatever you need to do, but why don't you sing? That was my big rebellion.
Father, I will let me down like a bridge over trouble.
Carrie's daddy, Eddie, had a great voice, you know. Really beautiful voice. I guess she doesn't want to be Eddie and she doesn't want to be Debbie. She wants to be Carrie. So she'll do it her way.
Isn't that a great voice? Wish I had it.
Debbie walks on stage and hugs her daughter.
That's not bad for a 15-year-old, is it?
Palm trees tower over the Beverly Hills Hotel. Ducks swim in a pond by a sign for Beverly Hills, a selection of swanky Beverly Hills mansions. The gates to Carrie Fisher's mansion is covered in signs. They slowly open.
So this is the compound. It was built by Robert Armstrong, who was in King Kong, who said, "'Twas beauty killed the beast." I lived in this for, 20 years.
This is the lobby. This is where early mornings are spent with people that drink coffee. And there's a hummingbird nest. Look how teeny. This is the bathroom. It has, as a lot of bathrooms should, a player piano in it. This is Betty Davis when she lived here. This is my suitcase, Robert. Oh, ugly children portraiture. They did this thing in the last century where they dressed boys in girls' clothing. He looks like Ross Perot in red, Shia LaBeouf as a Dutch underage prostitute, and Richard Dreyfuss as a young girl wielding a rose. Richard likes that. Now, this just happens to be probably an unhappy woman that looks like Kevin Spacey. They sold this on the internet as a Princess Leia sex doll. Maybe this.
She touches the life-size doll's lightsaber.
There's no way of accounting for it. My daughter, Billy, my brother, myself, and Billy, and my mother, and Judy Garland, and my friend Charlie at the dentist with his mouth widely displaying. My house, I love it. It's like scavenger hunting. And my mother, there's part of it she kind of tolerates. Well, this is just Carrie's thing. This is the opposite of the house that I grew up in.
Black and white footage of a smart house.
The house we lived in was very grand when I was growing up. It was marble and glass, cold. And there was just too much air in it. Family-wise, we didn't grow up with each other. We grew up around each other, you know, like trees. My mother, she worked a lot. And then Harry, her husband at the time, he was the original fancy man, rich guy. It was a prototype life. We were getting ready for a photo shoot all the time. And that's what Todd and I shared. Todd and I had a shared history of weirdness.
A photo of the family on a magazine cover. Nevada. A stone stands outside a house engraved with the name The Fishers and the quote, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Todd Fisher pokes his head out of his front door.
Yes? Who is it?
Come in.
Hi. I just wanted to
she
say
brought
hi.
Her chicken in.
Hi,
speaking of science fiction.
Hello.
Hi. Never
you
met.
Too.
And this is Nugget. He travels everywhere with her.
He goes everywhere with me because he's my emotional wellness chicken. And he's just...
We're going to get him a service tag so he can be a service chicken.
I have to drive everywhere currently.
With a harness. We'll get a little harness.
They won't let chickens fly, but...
What?
Yeah, he's my boy.
That's right.
So I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was just telling poster story. Yeah, in fact, I was telling her the only reason why we bought this house was so I could hang my posters somewhere. So I decided I would tell a story on this wall. My mother made this movie called Singing in the Rain down there, and that's an original Singing in the Rain poster. Then she went on to do Tammy and the Bachelor, where she sings the song Tammy. Then she makes a movie with Frank Sinatra called The Tender Trap. And in this, while she's making this movie, Frank Sinatra says, now, Debbie, whatever you do, do not marry a singer, whatever you do. So she goes right out and marries the singer, my dad, Eddie Fisher. Then my dad ran off with Elizabeth Taylor and became a producer on Cleopatra. Then my dad goes on and marries Liz, and of course, they make the movie Butterfield 8. So that's the story of my life in a certain amount of posters.
You know what's funny is Debbie, when she first came in here, she went, how can you allow this?
Right, I mean, too many Debbie posters.
Too many Debbie posters. Where's your stuff? She's just so...
And I was like, well, where else am I going to put your stuff? Or what else are we going to do with it? Sooner or later, it's got to get up on the wall. Now, when I was younger, 2001 Space Odyssey came out, and I was very influenced by how amazing that movie was. And then all of a sudden, you know, Carrie does this little picture called Star Wars. She thought was going to be a B movie. I went to the screening with her over at Fox, and she was hiding in the back with me because she thought it was going to be a cheesy film.
At a mini convention, a man works a remote control R2-D2. People walk about dressed in costumes, including Princess Leia. A sign for Carrie Fisher hangs above a table with photos of her as Princess Leia laid out across it. Autograph $70, photo op $6.15. Carrie does her hair backstage.
We are at a lap dance.
Come on, do it a little more on the front, the whole thing.
A celebrity lap dance, which is where celebrities of all shapes and ages sign autographs for cash prizes. It's sort of like going to a strip club, except they don't stuff cash in your underwear. But that's kind of it.
Carrie signs autographs.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Good to meet you.
That is great.
We'll get a photo later.
It's a pleasure to
meet you. All right, thank you.
Thanks so much.
Well, she's always been my favorite on Star Wars since I was a little kid. I had a crush on her since I was like 8 years old. So I just like to see her.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That doesn't really look like me in a way. Show me where.
Yeah, right up there.
Nice and big.
Yes, sir. And that's my gold signature. There you go. Thank you. I really like your overall look. That goes without saying. Thank you. I like your outfit on you. No bra, though.
I'll remember that next time.
Hey there.
Hello.
So this is one of these things that we go to at least once a month. They're kind of a mini Comic-Con. Carrie resisted these lap dances for years, but it's amazing. You see these thousands of people that are behind me here? Okay, so they line up at 9 in the morning. They'll stay here till 9 o'clock at night just to have 2 seconds with Carrie.
Yeah, Liz and Matt, please.
Liz and Matt?
Yes.
Pleasure to meet you.
Don't cry. It probably won't sink in for a while.
She's like my idol.
You see?
Yeah.
How come?
She just epitomizes a strong woman who speaks her mind, doesn't care what anybody else thinks. And I wish I was more like that.
Carrie signs autograph after autograph with a constant stream of fans who've been waiting for hours. Carrie nips backstage for a quick can of Coke. She redoes her hair and meets with fans who've paid to have their photographs taken with her.
All right, here we go.
Let's go.
A constant stream of fans strike different poses in their photos with Carrie. Some have even dressed in Star Wars costumes.
Here we go.
Carrie gives her all in each photo, pulling different poses and often snuggling up close to her fans, both old and young. An exhausted Carrie lies backstage with her French bulldog. A manager is busy on his phone. Later.
They love
you.
Yes. They love her, and I'm her custodian, and I'm as close as you're going to get. She's me, and I'm her. I mean, they talk to me like I'm Princess Leia, who happens to have had all these, you know, difficult experiences to go through, and that's like me fighting for the Force. It's nice. They're nice.
Oh, something's unplugged. I can see it.
I thought this case was top priority.
Todd is in the car from Knight Rider.
I was on three episodes of this show where I played a very pivotal character for the lead character. And so I've been to a lot of Knight Rider conventions. And when I went there, I realized how much I loved this car. And I said, I got to have it.
I think it's important that you marry inside the entertainment race. And, that's an important thing. And because people don't get it. I think you could, my family in particular, could overwhelm most people.
It wasn't just my mother that was super famous. People forget my dad was a world-class singer. He had more consecutive hits than the Beatles and Elvis Presley combined. At one time, he had 65,000 separate fan clubs.
Grainy black and white footage of Eddie Fisher singing.
May I sing to you?
He had an exclusive contract with Coca-Cola. He was the Coke kid.
TV's even more fun with a bottle of Coke in hand.
They gave him a percentage of the Pasadena Bottling Company proceeds. I mean, he had it made for life. All he had to do was behave a little bit.
Black and white photos of Eddie and Debbie. They gaze adoringly at each other in each one.
My dad and mom, they were cute as hell together, and they had the cutest little kids together, and they were the couple of America. Obviously, the studio loved that setup. You know, you put the two of them together, it's one heck of a marketing tool. I think my mother really was in love with my father in a naive, young person way. First love. And I think that was the last time that she ever really experienced that.
Carrie heads to her mother's house.
She's here?
Yeah, outside there.
Hey, Dwight. Mama, let's go that way, though. You look beautiful. You're wearing the same shoes as I am.
No, you gave me these.
I know.
You don't remember?
No, I do.
I leave messages.
I know, that's the greatest thing.
I leave messages.
Oh, I wish there was
on
one.
On here.
I'm here if you want to come in, come in through the front door.
It's not a rainy day. It's my day to be quiet and alone is good. I have to go to my meeting now, but I just wanted to say hello. I love you.
I love you.
Oh. I don't know where you're going.
I'm coming up. I'm coming up. And look, our shoes are the same. I don't know what to go.
Another world. One of these days, you will see me.
I don't know the song.
I'll be around.
I think I'm my mom's best friend. More than a daughter. My mother really wants me to be an extension of her wishes, an extension of her. And to a great degree, far more sometimes than I ever would want to, I know what my mother feels and wants. And there's a lot of it.
I share everything with my daughter.
That's right.
Especially the check.
All right, especially the what?
What check?
She pays for everything.
Oh, that's... It's not true. She gets furious when I bring up money.
That's me. I'm in a rage last night. Like breathing out and breathing in.
I am completely independent and content before we met.
My mother's always liked the idea of living in the compound. It's actually turned out pretty good. She's been there a very long time, and they have obviously survived the decades of being there together.
Remember my 17th birthday party when you lifted your skirt up in front of all those
I
people?
I did not lift my
guy,
skirt.
Michael.
It twirled up!
And you weren't wearing any underwear.
Well.
Carrie wrote the movie Postcards from the Edge about her relationship with my mother.
I know I would.
And in the movie, they end up having an argument through two characters, Shirley MacLaine and Meryl Streep.
I'm going to kill myself.
Don't say that, even in jest, Suzanne.
I was very unhappy back then. I was just a mess. And some of the things that are in the movie happened.
Any idea what she's taking?
Pills, sir. Demerol, Percodan, and cocaine.
Give me your vitals.
Carrie, at this point, was famously into drugs.
Suzanne!
And my mother was not real happy about it. There was anger, true anger there.
I never said you were a monster.
You don't say it, but you feel it. Somehow you lay the entire blame for your drug taking on me.
I do not. I do not, Mother. I took the drugs. Nobody made me.
Old home movie footage of a beautiful teenage Carrie at the pool on a lovely summer's day.
Carrie and I started getting high together when we were about, I was 15. We used to smoke weed together and we had a lot of fun. And then, you know, she moved on to other things. And I didn't. When I would stop, she would keep going.
I knew something was the matter with me. I went too fast, I was too much, and I was embarrassed of it. The drugs I liked were painkillers. They calmed me down. I just couldn't handle it. I didn't know what it was.
Manic depressive is a disease. Now, that was not diagnosed then. So nobody kind of knew what was going on with Carrie. When she was 13, her personality changed. So it's a constant battle. It takes all of us to assure her that she's loved, and that won't get her.
Tears well in Debbie's eyes.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard.
That's the hardest part.
It's Christmas here in China on the wall, and we're headed toward the top.
Come with us. Join us on a walk on the wall.
Follow the yellow.
1988. Carrie walks the Great Wall of China with a ghetto blaster over her shoulder. She starts dancing to the music. She runs along the wall and grabs an amused passerby for a dance. The woman appeases Carrie for a moment, then embarrassed, she walks away.
We look like we're tired. We're having a ball!
In the home movie footage, she dances her way along the wall.
I have two moods. Roy is rollicking Roy, the wild ride of a mood.
Wow, some of that methamphetamine released itself when the brain slid and there was some trapped methamphetamine from my father.
She's put her ghetto blaster on the wall. Carrie peers over the wall at people below.
Listen to the music. It's melting from the heat.
Holding the camera, she runs along the wall. She turns around and looks back at the steep section of wall, then carries on walking.
Pam is sediment Pam, who stands on the shore and sobs. One mood is the meal, the next mood, the check.
Where am I in all this? I have no idea, because I feel like it's a little mood relay, you know? I'm Pam now. See, if Roy got this cold, he would let him stop it. Because Roy is bigger than all of it. But I just fit snugly into the mood pocket that is Pam. I don't have any choice. I don't dictate the ride.
The screen goes black. The compound, Carrie's modest Californian home, which is decorated with an eclectic collection of things. Old signs, a white shower curtain with bloody handprints, coloured lights and chandeliers. Carrie picks out a red jumper from her closet.
Look, the blue one I think is probably better, but this is crazier, which is important to know.
That is a very nice weather.
Those are good folk art colors. That's what you are,
okay,
folk
see?
Art.
That's not bad. And a person wearing this would then have a room
like this.
We met Debbie and Eddie, bought a house two doors down from where I lived. I was 11 when they first moved in, I think. She was pregnant with Todd.
Debbie worked a lot, so she wasn't there. So, you know, it's like you take what you can get, really. And if you can't have Debbie Reynolds, no. We wanted her.
Here's the deal. Carrie at two was more interesting than anyone I'd ever known. Todd was a very happy child, very easygoing.
But we weren't made with each other in mind.
No, you were very different.
I was jealous of that. It was simpler for him, for some reason.
Yeah. Also, you suffered from the divorce. You had an attachment to your dad, but he wasn't around much. And then Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, God.
In a scandal that's gripping Hollywood and the nation, Eddie Fisher leaves America's sweetheart, Debbie Reynolds, for her friend and neighbor, Elizabeth Taylor.
Something I'd never seen was all the paparazzi.
Black and white footage of the paparazzi swarming around Eddie and Liz Taylor.
It was very dramatic.
I want to get out.
You have no now.
And your mom was quite dignified and quiet.
And tell us your reaction to what Eddie Fisher.
I haven't even been informed. I just got off the airplane. I will not contest it, no.
All of a sudden, there are photographers on your front yard or on the sidewalk.
Don't remember it.
Coming out of the driveway, they took your picture in the car.
I don't remember it. I don't remember it. I don't want to remember it.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember it. I'm sure that was very stressful. I know I didn't like that. They were trampling me and Todd to get to her. So the sensation was that she belonged to them.
My mom did say about her, she said, that's a sad child. And that's after, I think, the divorce. She had this sadness. And then Harry Carl was in the picture.
We were supposed to call him Daddy Harry. That was going to happen. He was just a mass of noises and monograms. You have to remember this. There was an intercom, and he would start calling, Carrie. Honey was Debbie's name.
You know, he owned shoe stores, so that didn't interest us.
Nothing about him was interesting until we found out about the hookers.
Oh, God.
And here he comes now, industrialist and philanthropist, a celebrity in his own right, Harry Carl. And look who's with him, Carrie and Tom.
Harry Carl walked into the perfect ready-made family, and he seems like a great setup.
There's Mommy. Yeah.
Loving, caring, love Carrie and I, but we don't know at the time that he has serious problems. We don't know that he is a compulsive gambler. We don't know that he's a compulsive drinker. It was a disaster in the making, and it was really a disaster when my mom came home one day and saw the foreclosure notice on the front door of one of the biggest houses in Beverly Hills.
Home footage of Carrie and Todd playing together as children. They play with gray-haired Harry at the beach. Debbie larks around. The children ride their bikes around her in the glorious sunshine.
We were both about to enter a new era of reality. Little do we know what's really going on at that exact moment is Harry Carl is gambling away all of our money and Harry and Debbie were divorcing. That was the tail end of Carrie and our innocence as children.
Carrie strikes dramatic poses for the camera. Carrie is still with her former babysitter, Constance.
Okay, let's go.
All right, let's go.
We're going to see Debbie.
Subtitles. She's really not feeling well. Really?
Really?
Yeah, and it's horrible. It's horrible. Debbie lets herself into her mother's house.
Ma?
Oh, I'm so happy to see you.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you feeling?
Shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty bad. You can't take pictures.
Truly, you look so beautiful. You have to believe me.
I'm dizzy, and I think I caught it from you.
Here, you wanted some oxygen?
Yes, that's the ultimate hostess. Here. You're offered water, soft drinks, oxygen.
Here.
I'm taking it.
Now I'm in my mother's room with the oxygen machine on my face.
Carrie, maybe you've had enough oxygen.
What?
Maybe you've had enough. She seems very, you know, coherent, and she looks wonderful, but she seems fragile, and,
She's good at seeming good.
Yes,
that's
correct. She's definitely the lightest version of Debbie I've ever seen.
That would be a good way to put it.
Yeah, Debbie Light.
Contemplative, Constance fights back tears. She looks across at Carrie, sat in a swing seat. Debbie is the character Molly Brown.
You're tuckered, Molly. Why'd you quit?
Sure, I'm tuckered, and I might give out, but I won't give in. How could anybody see I'm down? Look, I'm blinking.
Somehow my mother is unsinkable.
Maybe here.
That unsinkable Molly Brown stuff is her.
Maybe no place. But there come a time, cause nothing, no, nobody wants me down like I wants me up.
The idea that my mother is now older and she's more frail, and I'm trying to see what that feels like, but I still don't feel it because she's still who she is inside. She went to school at MGM where they trained you how to behave. And so it's in her consciousness to be at her best at all times.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome. You're here at last.
And she's a fan before she was ever a star. When she went to MGM, she was enamored like anybody would be. My God, there's Clark Gable. And I have pictures of her with Gary Cooper. You can see she's got stars in her eyes. Who wouldn't? And she's still a fan to this day.
So let me just say that Debbie Reynolds is a self-proclaimed movie-aholic and has an enormous Hollywood memorabilia collection. Altogether, the costumes and props are worth millions of dollars. So this is sort of your nest egg.
Yes, this is. I put all the money I could save after all my husbands, and I bought costumes. This is Marilyn Monroe subway dress.
Wow.
My mother's passion for collecting started when they were auctioning off the back lots of MGM and all the contents. The idea that this stuff was going to be scattered to the four corners of the earth was unconscionable to her. So she took it upon herself to say, I'm going to save it. This is Liz Taylor's stool, makeup stool from Cleopatra. This chandelier back here is called a girando. It's from Marie Antoinette and Camille. In the end, she was successful in amassing the world's largest collection of Hollywood memorabilia. And so she wanted to build a museum.
This is from Molly Brown.
That's right. People are always amazed when they come to Hollywood, and there's no museum of film history.
I've tried. It's just that no one seems to be interested that's in the business. The public, the fans are interested. I'm interested.
We have, for decades, struggled to build this museum. It was impossible to believe that this wasn't going to happen. But we couldn't find a partner who shared her vision. Deal after deal fell through.
Wizard of Oz,
it's Judy Garland's.
Chokes me up now. You know, here we are, we'll talk about this another 10 years, I'll get choked up. Nobody wants to see their mother's heart broken, and we saw it. When we had the first two auctions, it was very traumatic for my mother.
Very interesting point of view.
We sold the Marilyn Monroe subway dress from the 7-year itch for $6.2 million. The truth is the collection was sinking her financially. We had debt because we had borrowed money to get a lot of this stuff. And we don't have a museum. We were done.
Parts of Carrie's eclectic collection are dotted around her tranquil garden.
In 1 week, I have to go and start rehearsals in London for Star Wars 7D2. I'm concerned because my mother is not feeling well, but I'm trying to let go. It's like I should be trying to let go of my daughter instead of trying to let go of my mom. So everything is backward.
She smiles and shrugs. A Union Jack billows in the breeze and a British Airways plane flies overhead. A red London bus travels along a busy road. Big Ben stands proudly in the sunshine. An iconic black London taxi pulls out of a rank. Carrie's dog watches on as she works out with a personal trainer in her London townhouse.
My question is, if you die when you're fat, are you a fat ghost?
Or do they go back to a flattering time?
So now you gotta pick it up.
Go to 30, but then you have to let me go! Let my people come! That's all you're gonna get.
Oh, okay, now cool down. Keep it going.
Oh, I've been doing this for a year. Lucasfilm is, they make them report on my weight. They take measurements. I mean, it's intense.
She loves it.
I've learned to love it.
I hate to break this conversation, but the gift for George Lucas's daughter, is it her birthday?
Oh, the gift. It's 3 months late for his birthday.
So it's the birthday of the daughter. So
it's no, his. It's his. It was
his. His birthday. Okay. All right. All right. I found a place that wraps and does and all the lovely things, and I'll be back.
She whispers, it doesn't matter anymore.
Forward and back. Mm-hmm. Back. Mm-hmm. There you go. Shoulders, where are the shoulders?
Mm-hmm. California.
We're going this way.
Even if it's a lie. No, there is no way I'm going to. No, that's the one thing. That is my Waterloo. After your exercise class, what you need to do is smoke a cigarette.
You hear that noise, Carrie? That's what we have to do. Clear the house.
He's bossy. Don't clear it today, clear it tomorrow.
Every day. We keep trying.
Here we go.
So what's on the agenda?
Let's go shopping. Inner health and well-being you can now buy. How much is the little watch up there? There's a man with his penis and a fat woman. Prepare to meet thy God. Uh-oh. When?
When?
Okay, and action. Look at all this. I'm having a crisis of joy.
She tries on a purple waistcoat.
What's nice here is the lighting. They're doing a film. Do you know who Debbie Reynolds is?
Oh, of course.
She's my mother.
Debbie Reynolds?
Yes, so...
No.
Yes. No, so you know who Eddie Fisher is?
Of course I know Eddie
Fisher. Okay, that's my father. Oh, and I'm in Star Wars. You know that movie?
Yes, of course.
I'm Princess Leia. Yes, this.
Oh!
So
soon. I need a picture.
Well, you're getting a picture. Look. Look, they want...
Am I getting a picture of Princess Leia? Take one and then you can send it to me. My son will go ballistic.
In Star Wars, Han Solo, Luke Skywalker and Chewbacca step up to receive their honours from Princess Leia. She smiles cheekily at Luke Skywalker.
So was it good to see the Star Wars gang again?
Anybody you have history with, it's interesting. To see them after a while or not. I've seen Harrison and Mark over the years. You sort of run into one another in the cafeteria, the celebrity cafeteria. And they, you know, we all just look more melted.
Did you always want to be an actress?
No, I wasn't running around saying I want to be an actress.
You know, I think you got exactly the same eyes as your mother. And your chin's a little bit like hers, too.
No, it isn't.
I only did shampoo because I was hanging around a set and they, you know, I mean, almost. I was a type. That was when Debbie wanted me to use the word screw instead of fuck. And Warren had to come over and convince her.
Can't we just, be friends?
You wanna fuck?
And Star Wars came out when I was 20. I met Paul the next year, and boom.
Headlines, Paul Simon captures his princess, Princess Leia, in love.
Suddenly, I'm with the people that are the best at what they do. The best actors and the best directors. And that was fun and scary to be around that. It was all a surprise. It all happened very fast and very soon.
Carrie, someone's here.
Hey, fuckface.
Coming!
Where are you?
Griffin Dunn, childhood friend.
For the one I love to find me, to find me today, today. Oh, my God.
Who the fuck is this?
Home at last. It's Gary, our son.
Where are we going?
We're going into the bedroom, as per usual.
So how's the new Star Wars going?
I'm not allowed to answer
that. Right.
Close your eyes.
Can I open them?
Yeah. That's the only part of the Happy Birthday song that I've been able to learn. That is what we sing now.
Oh, my God. That is filthy. Look at that's his dick that's keeping the time.
It's as a, it can
it's
do.
A secondhand dick.
They call me secondhand dick.
So walk. Beautiful.
Isn't it great?
But I can really keep it?
You can really keep it.
You know, I was thinking it's very funny that we're running into each other in London, too. Because so many things happened to us here in London. I remember you had a boyfriend, and you were a virgin. And you didn't want him to know you were a virgin. So I helped you out as a friend.
He relieved me of the...
The burden.
Burden of my... what is that called?
Virginity?
No, but there's hymen.
Oh, the hymen. I took the pressure off your hymen.
My hymen was a burden to me.
But that's what a real friend does.
That really is.
Mm-hmm. But it was funny, you know, they always say sex can ruin a friendship. But we were young enough where it didn't.
No, it
was... But now it would.
No, it would. No. Swear to God, my mother, she offered for me to have sex with this guy, Albert, and she would supervise Albert and I having sex.
Actual having sex.
Actual having sex.
Walking you through it.
Yeah, because she apparently has some tips on that. You take the staff of life and the grapes. Oh, God. For some reason, I have to tell you this. The first time I saw Tess, well, like there's a tour of the first times of genitals for me, just endless tour. Harry, we all slept in the room with them, and Harry slept in this top, and he would go to the bathroom. So here we go. Now we're all there.
Oh, God.
Why?
She gets off the bed and sticks her bottom in the air.
And here comes
I'm
Dumbo.
I'm seeing the grapes where they would be.
This angry slather of balls.
That is a horrible story.
He was so awful. Actually, Eddie turns out to be one of the better ones.
Oh, my God, what a bar.
I know.
You know, we can kind of laugh and everything, but I remember you would look forward to seeing your father or talk, and he'd let you down, like, over and over and over again. And so I've always felt like, God,
and
what a
I was
prick.
So stupid about it, though.
Yes, you were.
Every time
you didn't
I would
see
think
it coming.
He was going to...
You were an open-faced sandwich. Like, yeah, I'm right
that
here.
Is, there
and
we go.
Bam.
That's a good title. The open-faced sandwich.
But he suddenly did make more appearances.
He came and stayed with me. He came to me. And he said, I need like $5,000-$10,000 for clothes. I said, I don't have it. And he went... You don't have it? And he now points to my house. You don't have it? And I said, Dad, you're a singer, not an actor. Don't make a scene.
At that time, he was like kind of like a guy who used to be famous, sort of washed up, you know, lounge act.
It just makes me cringe. When you think about stars that aren't stars anymore, it's humiliating.
Todd, you said you could sing like your father.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my papa, to me he was so wonderful, never there. Oh, my papa, to me he was so dear. Time and again when he would take me on his knee, and with a smile... He changed my tears to laughter.
Home movie footage of Eddie playing with Carrie as a toddler in the swimming pool.
So funny, so adorable.
When Eddie left, I was like a year old. One of the first times I really connected with my father was after I shot myself in the leg in New York. It was the first time I'd really heard from my dad. He never had called me before in my life. I was like, wow, that's unusual. But, you know, I had to shoot myself in the leg to get him to make me a call.
I have not been the best father in the world. I still have that guilt of not putting in a certain amount of time that I thought I should have. All I had in my head for years and years and years was making sure that I had my drugs.
Black and white footage of a swanky party. a young Eddie takes to the stage.
Well, my dad started off very early with crystal meth. It all started with him saying, God, I just can't do this show, I'm so sick. And this doctor was there and he said, look, I got a shot. And he gave him this shot and man, he went out there and sung his heart out. And he was like, that's incredible. He was being told it was vitamin shots. That same doctor was giving it to President Kennedy and to J. Edgar Hoover, and a lot of very prominent people were taking these same drugs until everybody realized what it was. But then it's too late now, isn't it? People that get into drugs generally make stupid choices. If you look at my dad's life, he got stuck on stupid and ended up blowing his career.
Handsome Eddie smiles at the camera. 2010, an aerial view of the Berkeley Hills, California, 3 months before Eddie's death.
Puff Daddy. You want a beverage? My father, the way that I had a relationship with him finally was I became his parent, and that was the way to have the relationship. So I got to know him as there was less of him to know.
Was I always funny?
Always.
You know what? I used to be funny for you because I thought if I was really funny that you would want to be around me all the time. I would make myself wonderful for your return. See, and it finally paid off.
Finally.
I wanted to be your best girl. And that's a tough competition.
Really?
Yeah, well, you know, if your competition to be best girl with you is Elizabeth Taylor, well, I don't think I'm going to do well with that one. But I think I'm funnier than Elizabeth Taylor. Anyway, that's always been a goal.
Oh, really?
You love me.
Crazy about you. But do you love me?
I do love me.
I love you. You're lovable.
She gazes adoringly at her frail father laid out on the leopard print sofa. Debbie Reynolds' autobiography lies on a table in an auction house, which has some of her extensive collection of Hollywood memorabilia on display. As people look over the lots on display, a pianist plays Debbie's hit song, Tabby.
So here we are approaching the third auction of my mother's collection. Unfortunately, my mother just fell because she was dizzy walking into her bathroom. When we saw her, we were all in horror because we're like, wait a minute, you know, you could have broke your neck or, you know, be dead right now.
I fainted. I went plummeting to the ground. And I hit a rock, you know, in my bathroom. And it was 12 at night, and I just bruised everything. But I'll do the interview like this.
But the subject never came up to cancel the auction. You know, I suspect she's going to show up to the parties and act like nothing's wrong, which is what she does so well.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are.
This is magic. You ready to come up?
Good evening.
I'm Mrs. Leia's mother.
And I'm wondering now, you're about to be done with the third.
Final. It's the end of an era, but we hope that the public enjoy all these fabulous things.
What is it about show business that connects the two of you when you're not on a red carpet?
We are always on a red carpet. We have red carpets at home connecting our homes. We are not people with personas.
This is everything that came out of my mother, right here, these two.
That doesn't sound good.
That doesn't sound very
good. That doesn't sound good.
Well, it's a good thing. I'll ask one more question.
Sold. 475, the paddle number 1073. Number three is another...
My mom, she's having second thoughts about the Rat Pack costumes. She said, I think I want to keep them. She personally collected these outfits. Debbie went to Peter Lawford. And he was like, why in the hell do you want my underwear and socks in my outfit? And she's like, because I want the whole ensemble and I want it for the museum.
I had a dream last night. I say it's a vision. I say it's someone speaking to me that I should not sell the boys.
And in The Tender Trap, Debbie's character Julie watches Frank Sinatra as Charlie playing the piano.
The folks are throwing shoes and rides.
When I worked with Frank, call me sweetie. Come on, sweetie, sit over here. So I don't want to sell, and I have to be here, and I have to be happy about it. So I have to have happy things in my head. I love having my ghosts, and I love having my memories. It's like you have a friend forever. It makes me smile when I even just say their names.
Debbie slowly makes her way into the half-full auction house and takes a seat in the empty front row. Todd follows her. The Rat Pack suits are still on display. Todd whispers to his mother. Carrie and her dog join them on the front row. Todd sits with his arm around his mother as she anxiously watches the proceedings.
Charlie Chaplin or $27,500. Next would be $30,000. Going once, going twice, selling for $27,500.
A gardener waters Debbie's lawn on a bright sunny day. A statue of two cherubs hugging sits amongst clusters of tiny white flowers. In Debbie's house...
The dog will not leave, so do you want him to lie down? But I'm going to sort of face that way a little bit. Because I look so bad, I don't want to face direct.
No, you're going to talk to me, but I was going
to... Oh, good, good.
I was going to sit right here.
Now, is the hair in one place?
The hair?
Is one place. Okay, there we are.
The hair looks very good. Okay, how are you, by the way, how are you doing?
Well, it's not my best day, but that's all right because we've had other days that are worse. Have we? I'm happy to be here.
First thing I want to ask you about is how many years were you under contract at MGM?
I was at MGM from 1948. Through How the West Was Won, we made a lot of pictures at MGM, and I had a wonderful time. I had a wonderful time. I had a youth, you know, I was just a kid. I didn't know anything, and they taught me everything.
Can we talk a little bit about your brother and your, just a little bit about Texas? Because
if you like.
Is that okay? Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, hi, Carrie.
I'm not here.
You going?
I'm going. I've decided to
go to bed. Yes, go to bed. Say goodnight to everybody.
Good night to everybody.
Will you come back and visit us?
No, no, no. She's got to go to bed.
Debbie smiles demurely as the production crew rush around her trying to turn off the alarm.
I have no idea what the alarm is. I have no idea. I suppose.
Michael?
Try 985-3193 or something. I don't remember ever turning this alarm on. Just one of those things. Just one of those fabulous things. It wasn't my day.
That's it.
Yay!
Debbie, while you're here, can you just tell us about the shoes and stuff?
This is Judy Garland's shoe. Well, was, of course. They look small, don't they? Mm-hmm. They would fit me.
Do you think they fit you now?
She wore 5.5.
I'll get that for you. Sorry. Okay.
I think we should end it at the end of this.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think everything's going wrong. Okay. This is... We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. Thank you.
She blows a kiss to the camera, smiles and totters away. She does a little dance.
Chaplin. Okay. Come on.
Thanks, Debbie.
Come on.
She waves on her way out. The glittering ruby slippers stand on her mantelpiece beside a black and white photo of her.
Dwight! Do you want to go to Vegas? I know Dwight does. Dwight always wants to go to Vegas. And they get very excited. Come on, it's hard to take both of them. Come on, Dwight. We are going to do Vegas with my mother. I didn't know it until my daughter told me. It's absurd. If you're going to retire, you retire. She retires and books an engagement in Vegas and then says, come help me. I don't believe that that's the last one.
In the car.
This is all against doctor's orders now, as if any orders apply to Debbie. But everyone ends up in Vegas. You know, if my mother's unhappy, it lives on my grid. So I both want to and have to help my mother. She was very good to her mother, and her mother didn't deserve it. Debbie deserves it.
Maxine Reynolds, 1995.
When Debbie got into show business, obviously it was a big difference in your lives, but did you like it?
Mm-mm. I think it's phony. Your mother never knew what it was, and we went in blind.
And did you encourage her to go in?
No. In fact, I tried to get her out of it.
What did Grandpa think of show business?
He thought it was a crazy way to make a living.
Well, what do you wish that she would have done?
She wanted to be a gym teacher, you know that.
You think she would have been happier doing that?
I think it'd been more normal. But she loves what she's doing, let's face it. Loved it all, and still does.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. God gave her brains, but he didn't put them up here. He put them down her ankles.
Debbie is on the bill at South Point Hotel and Casino, Las Vegas. She pulls back the curtains in her room.
This is Vegas. I've been coming here since the 60s, but this will be probably the finale. And I'm not feeling that well, and so to be well enough to do my whole show, I asked my children if they would come up and relieve me.
Carrie says, Mother, you know I started in your act at 14 years of age.
Who talks like that?
Todd comes on stage and the family banters. They don't want to make fun of it because it's sweet and she wrote this. Then she sings, This is a Lovely Way to Spend an Evening in Tammy. I hope it works out well. And the song that she's picked for me, perfect. I'll never say no to you. Whatever you say, I'll do. If you ask me to wait for a lifetime, you know I'd gladly wait for a lifetime or two just to look at you.
Dressed in casual clothes and a woolen flat cap, Debbie zips around the casino on a motorized scooter unnoticed.
The only way you make it through life is to fight. You don't get there the easy way. If you feel sorry for yourself and you let yourself go down, you will drown.
No one recognizes her as she weaves through the casino in her dressing room.
Why don't we get you out of there?
See that doorway down there?
No, I know where to park it.
Okay.
How about we walk you and then...
Well, first I'll
take care of your cart.
Okay.
She goes out the opposite way.
Well,
I was trying to get you out.
I know, I saw where you were going. Well, I was trying to get the stuff.
I'll take care of this.
I got it.
All right.
Thank you.
Wearing a floor-length sparkling gold dress, a composed Debbie waits in the wings, ready to go on stage.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Debbie!
Acting like someone in good health, Debbie makes her way onto the stage.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the South Point Hotel. I look what? She says I look all right. Do I look all right back there?
Down here, I look like a hooker. This is it. You know, you folks came at the right time. This is my last weekend ever to be in show business. I've got to retire. Come on, say wish me luck. Yeah, good luck, Debbie. Yeah.
Carrie leaves the dressing room and makes her way backstage.
Good times and bum times, I've seen them all. And my dear, I'm still here. Last call has
Coca-Cola in hand, Carrie watches her mother from the wings.
I was a kid with dreams and pluck. One third was talent, two thirds luck. I saw some dreams disappear, but I'm here. I enjoyed making that movie.
Never say no to you.
You're my daughter.
Whatever you say, I'll do. If you ask me
Carrie
to
Fisher.
Wait for a lifetime, you know I'll gladly wait for a lifetime or two. Just to look at you, I'll smile if you say be glad. I'll weep 'cause I'm bipolar. Today is tomorrow if you do too much blow. I'll stay or I'll go. But I'll never say no.
My daughter.
Debbie is helped off the stage. She turns back and gives the audience a final wave. Using her scooter, she goes out to meet some fans.
Oh, likewise.
Okay. Please don't retire.
Oh, no, it's time.
So beautiful.
I love you.
Bye-bye.
Great show.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Debbie smiles sweetly as she maneuvers past her fans. The large sign-covered doors of the compound are shut. A car sits in the garage.
Hi, Alexis. This is Donald calling for Debbie. She's not going to be able to do that tomorrow. I'm going to put her on so you can hear how her voice is. Hold on one second.
She's not there.
No.
Hello, Alexis. This is Debbie. If I can't speak, I know no reason to try to do a recording. Why don't we just forget about this until I'm well? Sorry to bother you with it. Sorry to bother both of us. Anyway, Carrie says I should stop saying I'm sorry. But I am sorry. Bye.
The lights of Los Angeles glisten in the darkness.
So just when we thought she'd stay home for a while, my mom gets this big Lifetime Achievement Award and she's right there back in the spotlight.
Actress Debbie Reynolds will be the recipient of this year's Screen Actors Guild Lifetime Achievement Award. The ceremony will be broadcast live from the Shrine Auditorium in Hollywood, California.
She was already making up speeches in her head. You know, she's like, her thing is sort of like, well, I'm finally there. But she doesn't say that. But they haven't lavished her with awards.
Carrie's shown where she and Debbie will be seated.
Here we go.
Carrie accepts the award in the rehearsal.
Debbie Reynolds, Lifetime Achievement Award. Debbie Reynolds, Lifetime Achievement Award. Yeah. Carrie Fisher standing in for Debbie Reynolds.
Todd, I stayed overnight.
She doesn't feel well. She feels like shit.
Then let's do that. Let's let her not be there at the table and lay down. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'll find out, but it doesn't matter. Oh, how much time would she have to sit at the table?
What act are we in? Three?
Mm-hmm. We're going to need some kind of a place for her to lay down.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so okay. If there's just, like, anything, it's not embarrassing.
We'll make an area for her.
She doesn't have really a lot of physical energy either.
Got it. We can make this work.
Like,
yeah, it's okay, Carrie. We can make this work. We've done it before.
Carrie walks away as she starts to cry.
You're going to set aside, like, a little area for her, all of her own, so she can do it, you know.
Carrie's unable to hold back her tears.
All right, now. Give Debbie my best, all right?
Hi, Mama. I passionately am going to marry you while you're sleeping tonight. And by the morning, I will have taken all your money. No, I want your bedroom cleared. Except for me, because I'm your favorite. Oh. I'm sorry, God damn it. You know. Well, please, is there any way you could go to sleep? Now? Okay, I'll get off the phone with you. I'm coming home.
Carrie lights a cigarette. The glow from the flame illuminates her face, which is etched with worry. Flashing Christmas lights decorate the veranda at Carrie's home. Her tree is covered in eclectic decorations.
I like Christmas. I like the lights. My mom. She is Christmas. She's something special. Wait, did you get drinks? Seriously, though? You secretly want something. I know you do. You know, I could do a pretty good Streisand. You're a funny girl. That's me. I keep them in stitches, doubled in half. And though I may be all wrong for the guy, I'm good for a laugh.
Your voice is beautiful.
Thank you. I should have been a pair of ragged claws scuttling across the floors of silent seas. You know what would be so cool? To get to the end of my personality and just, like, lay in the sun. I have to watch a little of this. I'm sick of myself.
Crazy about
ya. I love this movie. I love every.
Strong. I can't do without
you. Are you okay, Carrie?
That's how I've gotten through a lot of it, is abstracted. So that it's not happening to me. It's. I just, I'm a type of bird.
A manicurist files her nails.
I'm manic right now. I didn't know if you... And I haven't been for a while.
Then be happy.
It'll go out of style soon, and then I'll just be quirky.
In the film Funny Girl, Barbara Streisand totters off stage and roller skates.
Oh!
Carrie mixes glitter.
Makes me so exquisite. I make my own blends. Okay, you're just kind of... It's more than fun. It's magical, and things will start
happening now that you want to have happen.
You are fucking amazing.
An aerial view of Los Angeles and its tall skyscrapers. The day of the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Limousines are parked at the compound. Wearing an elegant floor-length black dress, Carrie makes her way down her front path.
Is she moving at all?
Why do you go to get her out?
You can't push her, you don't get nothing. If you push and then she gets mad, you can't have that. That's the worst thing that can happen. So you got to just kind of act like... The show has started.
And I'd like to accept this award on behalf of every dog on Earth.
Jody Hanowick, can you go check and just tell us anything?
Yes, sir. Does she realize that we're going to miss the show?
Of course.
Everyone waits anxiously for news. Carrie walks Debbie out to the limousine.
Here comes the old lady. I'm very sorry.
You're here, Mom. Right there. Right
oh,
there.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So, hello, gorgeous. Who said that?
Yeah.
Well, I want to tell you all what fun it is to go out on the town.
And have a good time.
Thank you.
The limousine drives away with Carrie and Debbie on board.
I just want to say, what is my award? No, I can't even think.
You're getting Lifetime Achievement Award.
Life, well, that's the thing. See, I get upset and I can't remember anything.
It's an achievement that you even got here.
That's the real achievement.
This is the what award?
Lifetime Achievement.
But
Screen Actors Guild.
Screen Actors Guild.
It's on the prompter. Carrie, was the prompter big
the
enough?
I just want to know what it is. Like in real life there, right now. Like we're talking here. We're talking and we're just saying.
We're just saying it's a SAG Lifetime Achievement Award.
It's just called a Life Achievement. S-A-G?
Lifetime
Achievement.
S-A-G.
SAG. SAG.
Lifetime.
You don't really have to say it, I don't think.
No, but I'm not worried about that. I was just
want to
really
know.
I just really want to know what it really is. Right now, I just blanked out.
It's the biggest honor in your industry.
It is. I mean, it actually is.
It is.
It is.
No, it is. It's the biggest honor.
You have enough air on you back there.
You know, you keep asking me questions.
Did you?
I don't need any questions.
Don't ask questions, okay?
I'm just trying to stay level, like
Don't talk to me, just relax.
Just breathe.
If you could slow down just a tiny, tiny, tiny...
I know you're being coached.
Vomiting is a possibility.
I know.
On the way in, Debbie whispers, "Don't look like you're holding me up. We should look like we're walking and talking happily." We are. I'm just holding your hand.
It looks like I'm going on stage.
Please welcome Carrie Fisher.
Proud, Debbie watches her daughter from the audience.
Okay. I am very close to this year's Screen Actors Guild Life Achievement Award honoree.
Hi. Carrie, look, there's your mommy.
I found it difficult to share my mother with her adoring fans who treated
She's
her like she was part of
hell,
their family.
She?
She has led two lives.
You know, she was throwing up, leading into this. I'm sure Carrie's flipping out.
I am proud to present the Screen Actors Guild Life Achievement Award to my mother, Debbie Reynolds!
Debbie receives a standing ovation from the star-studded audience. Carrie goes to hand her mother the award, but playfully takes it away from her.
Thank you. I want to thank the Screen Actors Guild for awarding me with this tonight. It's very unexpected, and I've been in the business now 66 years, and my favorite movie was Singing in the Rain, and well, I didn't mention it. Did I say that? Yeah. And I had a good time making that picture, wearing myself out. God gave us talent, so we're very fortunate. We all are. What we do best, believe in it.
And of course, we do that, of course. And my favorite movie was The Unsinkable Molly Brown. And I had a lot of fun doing that. Thank you. In that movie, I got to sing a wonderful film, a song called I Ain't Down Yet. Well, I ate. Thank you all very much for this wonderful event.
Coming up, Ethan Hawke, Patricia Arquette, Rashida Jones, Andy Samberg, and with a special tribute, Liev Schreiber.
Carrie and Todd help their mother off stage. Their limousine pulls up outside Carrie's home, which is adorned with Christmas lights. Inside...
How was it?
It was fine.
Were you nervous at all up there?
Yes, I was nervous.
When did you not get nervous? You seemed like yourself.
The whole evening to me was wonderful, and there's no business like show business tonight.
You know what? I have to say something. Everything about it is appealing.
Something that the traffic will
everything. Applaud. No, seriously, everything. Well, the traffic will allow.
That's nowhere right. Can you get
that happy feeling.
When you're stealing, and I don't mean, you know, out and out stealing.
Extra bow.
Extra bow.
But there's no people like show people.
There are people like show people.
That's true.
No, that's true. Well, the smiling when they're low, that's schizophrenics are like that.
Oh, really?
So they're like show people.
That's really.
If they offered you another Life Achievement Award, would you do it?
No, I can't be funny about tonight. It's too special.
Okay.
It was a special
But that was
night.
A good question, though. Could you handle another Life Achievement Award?
Because they're going to see
no,
that you
I
did
can't
one,
answer.
And they're going to want to do
That's
it.
Right, the floodgates are
I
open.
Can't answer it because it's too special, and I won't be here then. I will have gone on. So it's very important for this
for
moment
big life achievement.
To... you don't get a chance to have a moment like this very often. It's not like any moment. It's its own special moment.
Carrie sings.
The man that won you.
The man that won you.
Has run off and undone you.
Has run off and undone you.
The great beginning.
Great beginning.
Has seen a final end.
Has seen a final end.
Don't know what happened.
Don't know what happened.
It's all a crazy game.
It's all a crazy game.
Yeah! Ever since this world began.
We have to stop, as my therapist likes to say.
Say goodnight, George. Can't you say goodnight, George, and I'll
no,
say goodnight,
no.
Gracie?
That's not original, Mother.
Oh, I know, but it shouldn't be. It should be just simply funny. It's slightly amusing
Why
to you.
Why continue working so hard?
Say goodnight.
Good night, and thank you for joining us here around our family hearth.
Hearth. You know I love you.
A montage of family photos plays as the end credits roll.
Love is a thing, a sting, that brings a reason for living. Love is a fling, there's never any doubt. Love will unhinge and singe.
How?
And cringe the weak and the hearty. Love is a binge that pushes logic out. Love has a way of catching a person unaware. No rhyme or reason, any time or season. A blight, a fright, a thief in the night. Love is a noose, a ruse, no use to try to resist it, love. Love has a way of catching hold like a cold. No rhyme or reason, any time or season. A blight, a fright, a thief in the night. Love is a word, a word I've heard referred to in whispers, loves girls and boys, making noise. And after dark, in some respects, it's just a bundle of sound effects. Well, it's a wheeze, a sneeze, a pop, a cop, a crow, a chicken and a dove. And they can hand it up, give it up. None of us could live without love.